All right, I want to greet everyone in Jesus' name this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon this time together. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Help us, Lord, I pray, to do your will and bring glory to you. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to your word. Father, again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to the wisdom of Sirach, chapter 2. So we'll begin reading. Wisdom of Sirach, chapter 2, verse 1. It's such a blessing to find these books that are not in most modern Bibles. There's a lot of goodness in them, a lot of wise instruction that is missed. I think it contradicts a lot of the doctrines that men have established, and so they took this out, these chapters and these books of the Bible that are in the Apocrypha or always in the Bible until the last few centuries. And it's just there's just a lot of good teaching in them and a lot of sound things that completely contradict modern man's theology, and that's why we include them in our Bible and study them and appreciate them. My son, if you draw near to serve the Lord, prepare your soul for temptation. Set your heart right and be steadfast, and do not strive anxiously in distress. Cleave to him and do not fall away, that you may be honored at the end of your life. Just want to talk a little about these verses. My son, if you draw near to serve the Lord, prepare your soul for temptation. You know, we talk or hear a lot of people messages about how people should come to the Lord and be saved, and how they should come to the Lord, and how he will heal them, and how he will fix all their problems. But you don't hear much about the exhortation for people to draw near to the Lord, and prepare yourself for temptation. We don't like to hear that. We think that when we begin to follow the Lord, all those things will just be taken away. And that when I begin to follow the Lord, I'll just be delivered from all of those things and healed. And it'll just be a miracle and he'll just take everything away and I'll be on the road to heaven. That's the way we think. That's the way we're taught. That's what we hear over and over again. But the Bible tells us here that if we prepare our hearts to seek the Lord, prepare yourself for temptation. Nobody likes temptation. Nobody likes to be tempted. We are afraid we'll fail. We're afraid we'll disappoint the Lord. We're afraid that we'll disappoint other people. We don't like that. We want to be delivered from all of those things. We want to be set free from all of that temptation. And so the idea is that we are striving and looking for some magic pill or some magic thing that's just going to fix all our problems when we come to the Lord. That's exactly opposite of truth. That's exactly opposite of what the Bible teaches and shows us. That when we come to the Lord, when we prepare our heart to seek the Lord, if you draw near to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for temptation. If you're truly on the path to serve the Lord, you have acquired an enemy. You have brought upon yourself the wrath of Satan. You see, we belong to Satan. From the fall, when man fell in the garden, Satan became the master of mankind. That's why Jesus came into this world, to set us free from his tyranny, to set us free from his power and control over us, to deliver us from his chains. You know, the modern teaching that Jesus came to die so that God could forgive you, that Jesus came to die that God could pardon you, sets Jesus and the Father at odds with each other. Jesus came into this world to deliver us from Satan and his power, so that we could be freed from his bondage, so that we could become a part of the kingdom of God, so that we could be his. And because we have turned and rejected Satan as our master, while we're still living in this world that is under so much of his control, we have set ourselves as his enemy. And he knows those who betray him. You know, the hordes and the multitudes, they may gain worldwide fame for a little while, but Satan doesn't care at all about them. His sights are set on those who are in this little battle. This little battle that so few ever decide to take on, to turn from his kingdom to the kingdom of God. That's where he has trained his attention. He can't stand someone who's betrayed him. You know, one of the things that people despise is a traitor. Someone that you trust. Someone that you trust is on your side and they betray you. They break your heart. They turn away from you and become associated with the enemy. Something that society hates. And that's something that Satan hates. So that when we turn from his kingdom, where he feels betrayed, and instead of patiently and mercifully waiting for us to return to him, he pursues us with a passion. He hates us. With everything that he has, he will throw at us. My son, if you draw near to serve the Lord, prepare yourselves for temptation. You've made your old master angry and upset with you. Modern religion teaches that everything's just rosy after you come to Jesus. Your sins are forgiven and you're just on this path. Many people think that you can never even fall off of it again. But once you've just accepted and made this choice, there is absolutely nothing can happen to tear you away, and tear you out of the kingdom of God. Yet the Bible teaches us to prepare ourselves for temptation. You know, whenever you draw near to serve the Lord, it's when you begin making a choice that you want a new master. And when we will prepare ourselves for that kind of a struggle for the rest of your life, that this is now your life. You know, we think that, oh boy, my old life's gone. I'm just on this new path and everything's wonderful. But what it is, whenever you're converted or born again, is now your life is an uphill climb on a straight and narrow path with an enemy trying everything he can to knock you off of that. Oh no, it's not an easy road. It's an uphill path. And when you choose to draw near that, you set yourself on this new path. And things that you wish you didn't have to deal with is exactly what you have to deal with. The things that you don't want to live through are the things that you learn to live through. And that is how you keep on pressing on this path. You learn that your life is now not just fixed, that now you learn how to live through who you are and the way you are. And you learn how to live through this life being attacked. You learn that, oh boy, I failed again. I'm just going to quit and give up. That's what we are tempted to do. And that's what our enemy wants us to do, is for you to get discouraged about being on this path. That it's not the easy road you thought it was. It's a difficult road. And so if he can beat you up a little bit and get you discouraged, you'll just give up. You know, it's noble to think about, where could I turn but to the Lord? That there's nothing else to go back to. But there's a place on that road where we don't even worry about going back to anything. We just don't go forward to anything. We don't really want to go back to what the world offers, but we really don't want to go forward to what the Lord wants either. We're just stopped. We just lay down. We just give up. No, we don't want all the bad things. There's nothing that the world has to offer. You look at things, just the common sense of things. What the Lord offers, the way the Lord offers, the life the Lord offers, family, friends, goodness. Truly, sin does bring darkness, hardship, pain, and suffering. We hurt people. Our consciences torment us. It's an ugly way to live. People think that they can escape through drugs and things like that, and they just get in bondage, and it gets dark, and the paranoia, the fearfulness that sets in, that those things bring on their lives. And that's what the world thinks is a glorious thing, and they're out there seeking it. But when you weigh those two things, there's nothing that compares with just a life of peace and goodness, happiness, friends, trustworthiness, not being bound by unforgiveness, but being free to forgive and being merciful. Yeah, weigh those two things. There is absolutely nothing to go back to. But we don't have to go back to those things to not follow that path where there's temptation and a struggle, that we're expected to live this until we die. You know, these people that Jesus was talking to, whenever he asked the disciples, when he asked Peter, said there was many that were following him. Many of them were following him. And they turned away and never went back. Well, we think, oh, they just went back to a dirty life of sin. They didn't have to go back. Most of them were raised, a lot of them, in good, strong, godly homes. They had it easy. It was all comfortable. And so when he said, do you go back? He didn't mean the dropping way back into dirt and darkness and nastiness. They were just dropping out. See, the question wasn't, will you go headlong into a life of deep, dark sin? Or will you follow me? That wasn't the question. The question was, will you follow me? Will you go back to just taking it easy? Will you go back just to seeking the path that there's not much temptation? Will you go back to just coasting along through life? Remember one time a man was coming from the world and we were at a Mennonite church and he was just struggling. Every day was a battle. And he just looked at the people in the church and, oh, they're just coasting through here. Why don't they have a battle? I just want to coast. And I told him, there's no place to coast. They're coasting to nowhere. They're coasting to nowhere. They can let it slide and it doesn't affect them. But if you start letting it slide, you'll slide right back to wherever you were. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. You have to choose to set your sights to go forward in this battle. Because if you coast, you'll drop all the way out. If they coast, they just go nowhere. But they're still not where they're supposed to be. My son, if you draw near to serve the Lord, prepare your soul for temptation. Set your heart right and be steadfast, and do not strive anxiously in distress. Don't get all upset because life throws you a few curveballs. Don't dwell in a place of fear and anxiety because you don't have this coasting peace that everyone else is talking about. You're having to work to stay faithful to the Lord. You're having to work. You know, that's a dirty word. Oh, man will not be saved by works. That's not what he's talking about. Man won't be saved by performing some religious act. But if you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to walk up that hill, you're going to be faithful to Him and loyal to Him, you're going to have to work like you've never worked anything before. And you're worried that you can't coach, that you've got to fight every step of the way. Don't be worried about you having to fight and struggle. Don't get anxious and all nervous because you have to fight. That is the battle. And it's not filled with all kinds of comforts. Whenever you see yourself and you have to overcome all these things, and you fight and you lose, and you fight and you lose, and then you begin to get all nervous and anxious and upset about it, that's the battle you're fighting. That's what you have to walk with. And when you learn to actually live with the battle that you're in, then you'll find yourself gaining some footage, some traction. We try to live in this illusion of everything's going to be wonderful. But if you learn to live in the battle with you and who you are and walk in that battle, you'll begin to find that you can have some traction. Whenever you know yourself and you catch yourself, you start seeing the path that you fall into, the traps that you fall into, you begin to recognize, wait a minute, that path is a trap. I've fallen into that 1,000 times. Over and over and over it, I fall into it. But when you begin to realize that this is your battle, you can start to recognize the little arrow that points you down that path that you failed in so many times. Quit chasing your tail. Falling into all of this thing that you've fallen into and fallen into and fallen into. Recognize, this is my path. And you can begin to see that I can't take that road because of where it leads me. And so you can begin to catch it earlier and earlier and earlier. And guess what? You'll start chasing into another one somewhere down the road. You'll be tempted somewhere else further down the road. Sounds pretty discouraging, doesn't it? That's who you are. That's the battle you're called to. The encouraging thing is, what's past all of this? Cleave to Him and do not fall away, that you may be honored at the end of your life. Cleave to Him and do not fall away. You know, these disciples that turned back, you know what happened? They got offended. They got offended. He said something that every one of them choked on. Why did He say that? What? How can He say something like that? Boy, I wish He had said it a little better. It wasn't some thing that they fell into. They just got offended at Him. Just can't take the way He did that. Just can't swallow the way He said that. So they just backed up. The disciples didn't like what He said either. They didn't understand it. But they had enough courage to trust Him, to take Him through that path. You have the words to eternal life. It's not the way He's going to be easy. It's not you're not going to be offended. It's not you're going to have to fight the whole way. It's you have the words that lead to eternal life. Cleave to Him and do not fall away, that you may be honored at the end of your life. Accept whatever is brought upon you, and in exchange for your humiliation, be patient. Because gold is tested in fire. And acceptable men in the furnace of abasement. Believe in Him He will help you. Make your way straight and hope in Him. You who fear the Lord, wait for His mercy. What blessed instructions.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Christ is our Oh.